24-121 regarding Alani Amada DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Yamada in case number 24-121. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it, ARS 32-22-34. Dr. Yamada, please come forward and introduce yourself.
Dr. Yamada here.
And counsel?
Ray Richardson, appearing with Dr. Yamada.
Thank you. Dr. Yamada, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We don't have any additional documents.
Okay, thank you. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, can you please give us a brief summary on the case?
Okay, thank you. On March 5th, 2024, Max, a 13-year-old male beagle, was presented to the respondent on referral after eating a corn cob. The dog had been seen by Animal Medical Center of Surprise. Blood work, radiographs, and a barium study were performed. Diagnostics were inconclusive for a foreign body. Obstruction and the dog continued to decline throughout the day. The dog was transferred to the respondent's premise for advanced care. The dog was triaged by the respondent's staff and the respondent and deemed stable at the time. The complainant was provided a treatment plan for hospitalization and diagnostics, which were approved. Due to other emergencies and shift changes, the dog's treatment was delayed. A couple hours later, the dog arrested, CPR was initiated, and the complainant was contacted with what had transpired. The complainant elected to discontinue CPR, and the dog passed away.
Thank you. Dr. Yamada, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right. So Dr. Yamada, we'd now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Can I make a statement for her?
Yes, absolutely.
We have submitted documents that contain Dr. Yamada's position, but we'll offer this brief statement. There's been indication that the board thinks there may be a charge of gross negligence here. Gross negligence means treatment of a patient or practice of veterinary medicine resulting in injury, unnecessary suffering, or death that was caused by carelessness, negligence, or the disregard of established principles and practices. Dr. Yamada was not careless in this case. She did not disregard any established principles or practices. Although hospitalization was not started for Max, Max was not being ignored. Max was kept in an area where the veterinary technicians could observe him, and he was reported to be alert and moving around as of 7:30 to 8 p.m., as noted in a statement by a veterinary technician, Eva Mondragon, that was submitted with Dr. Yamada's response. Dr. Yamada reasonably relied on the veterinary technicians to start Max's hospitalization as scheduled, and she had no reason to think that would not happen. If Dr. Yamada had been advised that the staff needed assistance to start Max's hospitalization, she would have done it herself. Since this event, Dr. Yamada has modified her practice so that this does not happen again. None of the actions or inactions by Dr. Yamada rise to the level of negligence, and especially gross negligence, and there is no evidence that failure to start hospitalization is what caused Max's death. Dr. Yamada has been practicing since 2019, and she has no prior disciplinary actions. Dr. Yamada has taken this matter seriously and personally, given that she is a pet owner herself. We would respectfully request this matter be dismissed, or at the most, the board issue a letter of concern.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Yamada.
Okay, I do have a few questions. In summary, we have, according to the information we have, includes a recorded phone conversation between Dr. Vasquez and Dr. Minnick. And in it, Dr. Vasquez was concerned about Max's declining condition. She felt if he was not transferred, the owner should consider euthanasia. She used a comment in that recorded conversation that Max was getting worse by the minute. So my question is, when were you aware that the referring veterinarian was concerned about Max's declining condition?
So Dr. Minnick took that phone call, and then usually standard procedure is every doctor in that is there in the hospital is made known to it. The information that was not provided to me from Dr. Minnick was that piece of that recording, that Dr. Vasquez had felt that the patient was declining by the minute.
Okay.
I was informed that why he presented there. I was informed that some of his history, like his elevated liver enzymes and things of that nature, but that piece of information was not given to me.
Was not transferred to you?
Correct.
Okay. So in the sequence of events regarding the exam, the conversation with the owner, and the hospitalization, when did you receive in that sequence and review the complete record from the referring veterinarian?
So I actually never received the complete record. I requested my staff and made sure, I requested it multiple times to ensure we had all of the information. The first bit of information came in a wave, and it was actually just his radiographs. Then I requested again to make sure that we had his medical record, and then later found out from my CSR that an email had been sent from Dr. Vasquez. But this was after I had looked at Max and even had presented a treatment plan to him, which is why on my treatment plan I had quite a few repeated diagnostics on it, because I didn't have that information that Dr. Vasquez, or what Dr. Vasquez did.
So you didn't get all the information until after the hospitalization?
Correct.
And regarding this time period from the admission of Max and his passing at about around 10 p.m., the only notation that I can see in the record is that a technician cleaned up some diarrhea and made you aware of this. Question is there anything else the technicians communicated to you during this period of time?
There is not. They just told me about his episode of diarrhea. I do recall, obviously, in conversation asking, you know, overall how he's looking or general observations. And my technicians did not note to me that they had any concern for Max at that time.
So they didn't say anything about Max's condition other than we cleaned up some diarrhea, basically.
They cleaned up some diarrhea. He seems to be doing static as when he
they did say
the
that.
Yeah.
Okay. In the material we have, it stated that you checked on Max at 8:30 and 9:30. So.
I checked in with my staffing to see where they were at with hospitalizing him.
Okay, so you didn't yourself go directly to Max at that point. You went to the staff to inquire.
Correct.
Okay. So you didn't see Max?
So So the treatment area that Max was, where his kennel was, he's visual to everybody and all of the technicians. So of course in passing, I could visually see how he's doing, but I didn't put hands or physically do like a repeat physical exam on him.
So at this 8:30 and 9:30 communication, if you will, with the staff, what was the conversation with the technicians during those two checks?
So the first was to find out who was going to be taking over his care to get him hospitalized, which the staff informed me of who was going to take over that. The second check was, again, to say, you know, we checked in once, why has his treatment not been done? Why has he not been hospitalized yet?
Okay.
Which the response was is that the individual that was supposed to get him hospitalized didn't, and so it was then, the responsibility was then given to another staff member.
So basically it was a, between the technicians, who's responsible and duty and this kind of thing, and ultimately nothing was done.
And if there was any, I think the thing that I stand by as a veterinarian and working with staff is that, you know, if my staff is overwhelmed or if they need help hospitalizing a patient, I have no problem doing that. And especially in a patient that needs it urgently or emergently. And so, had there been any indication that there was that concern for my staff at the time, I would have taken over and I would have, you know, hospitalized Max myself. But there wasn't that piece there.
Okay. That's all the questions I have. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Any other board members have questions for Dr. Yamada? No? Okay. Can you go ahead and step back? We have the complainant present. Are we supposed to reach out? No? No? Okay. Well, then, do you have any additional remarks? Do you want to come back up? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, we don't have any additional remarks.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, I have a question. Because we have both the cases,
yeah,
are we...
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah.
Ask questions of the other...
All right, so are we able to... Are we able to not move into deliberations and go into the next case?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that okay? Oh, good.
Good. That helps.
Is that okay with you, court reporter? Okay. All right. So then we're going to go ahead and call the next case, case 2539. So this is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Bidkowski in case number 2539. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it, ARS 32-2234. Dr. Bidkowski, please introduce yourself and counsel.
Timothy Bidkowski.
Lynette Odom on behalf of Dr. Bidkowski.
Thank you. Dr. Bidkowski, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We do not.
Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case. Then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley,
okay.
Can you please give a brief summary of the case?
Sure. On September 18, 2024, the board opened an investigation regarding the respondent's conduct as responsible veterinarian for the premises and the care and treatment that was provided to Max, a 13-year-old male beagle, by technical staff. The dog was presented to Dr. Yamada on March 5th, 2024, on referral after eating a corn cob. Dr. Yamada provided the dog's treatment plan, to the technical staff, which was scheduled to be started at 8 p.m. Treatment was delayed. At 10 p.m., the dog passed away and treatment had not yet been initiated. After reviewing case 24-121 in regarding Nalanda Yamada DVM, the board expressed concerns with the technical staff's delay in treating the dog after Dr. Yamada initiated a treatment plan for the dog's care.
Thank you. Dr. Witowski, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And now we'd like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Yes, so as a responsible veterinarian, we kind of had this discussion in our first interview. I did take on the position at the end of March. I do understand that that still kind of fell in before that time frame. But during that interim, I did implement a new kind of rule, essentially, with the unfortunate passing of Mass and any critical patient that comes into our hospital. Being that we are an emergency hospital, we can get quite busy, and that does kind of hinder some of these treatments that are taking place. So in the interim, when we cannot get hands on these patients, typically the hours of vitals that patients receive are Q6, or every 6 hours. For patients that come in and they have out of range, or their vital parameters are out of range, being that tachycardia, bradycardia, hypotensive, hypertensive, you name it, we repeat those Q1 hours. So patients aren't going amiss, and we're able to just monitor them much more closely. For patients that are deemed stable, these are more just kind of cage side vitals, whether that's be mentation, respiratory rate, and respiratory efforts. But again, some of these patients that do come in, they just need a little bit more attentiveness.
Okay, thank you. I would now like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Bichkowski.
Just one. According to Dr. Yamada, the conversation between Dr. Vasquez and Dr. Minnick was standard hospital procedure. Can you elaborate on this?
As far as taking transfer calls, when a DVM is available, assuming that they are available to take a call, we have a standard procedure where we have a piece of paper that we write all these conversations down on, and then we have a triage board that we will then hang up these conversations as well. I mean, granted, it's not going to be word-for-word conversations that are had, but as Dr. Yamada did state, we often will kind of make our rounds throughout the hospital, too, just to give a heads-up, per se, on any new incoming transfers that we have, just so we keep an eye on them. As these transfers do come in, another thing that we have implemented, I forgot to mention, I'm sorry, is that they do get kind of to the top of the line of the triage. So whether that be 8 triages, these transfers do kind of deem that when they are more critical. There are still other patients that will come in that do have that criticalness that we need to seek attentiveness first, where some you do have your broken toenails, your ear infections that come in that are deemed stable and do wait and kind of per se get pushed to the back of the line when these more critical patients do get priority in our hospital.
Prioritizing, was that in place before Max, or is that something you've put in
there? It's been new since then, yeah. I mean, it always depends on
the transfers go to the...
Yeah, and it definitely does depend on how stable or not stable the patient is, obviously.
But wasn't in place at the time.
But I do believe that that patient was still seen pretty accurately and attentively by Dr. Yamada.
That's the only question I have for Dr. Vasquez.
Any other questions? No? Okay. Since there is no complaint that we'll ask questions of, do you or your counsel have any additional remarks?
The only thing I would add, and this is in our response, so I don't mean to take up time and regurgitate, is that Dr. Gutkowski was not involved in Maxie's care, was not on site. Nonetheless, as a responsible veterinarian, he's implemented a policy to protect patients and ensure that they are being treated promptly, and we ask that the board dismiss this matter against Dr. Gutkowski.
Okay, thank you very much. So now when it comes to deliberations, Mark, we've heard both cases at this point, but the deliberation piece, is it allowed to be intermingled since there was question between the two?
Yeah, it is hard to, you know, separate them. I think you can have a kind of a consolidated, if you wish, deliberations, but then for each case, if you don't mind taking them separately and then articulating, you know, the reasons for whatever decision you decide to make in that particular case. Based upon those deliberations.
Any other questions there? No? Okay. All right, so Dr. Nosley, since you're the lead, so this concludes this portion of the informal interview, which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in these matters.
Okay, so very brief summary. The problem was this emergency patient did not receive care according to the doctor's orders for 2 hours and expired during that time. That's what we're dealing with. The first question is whether this patient was stable or not when hospitalized. The referring veterinarian, multiple instances, expressed concern about the declining condition and stated that this was one of the reasons for a referral. For diagnostics, but also because she was concerned that this patient was declining rapidly. Versus the respondent who did an exam.
Do we want to say which respondent?
Yes, Dr. Yamada.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just use names instead of numbers. Dr. Yamada, exam concluding Max is being stable. But as we all know, as important as an exam is the history. Could this have contributed to a delay in care because Max was deemed stable and then was prioritized as being stable? So the issues, the referring veterinarian was with the patient over an extended period of time. So witnessed this decline. The conversation, as we just heard, between Dr. Minnick and Dr. Vasquez is a concern, but I can't see where Dr. Yamada is responsible there. She was missing a very important piece of information here. And then when she received the records, if that would help with determining Max's stability, if you will. Again, that's not her responsibility. She couldn't make these records come faster or at a different time. So kind of my conclusions concerning Dr. Yamada, the first thing I will say is how busy the hospital was cannot be a factor in deciding this case. We can't decide cases because the hospital is too busy. It's an unfortunate reality. So ultimately, the staff actions are the responsibility of the attending veterinarian. If there are CBTs, there are some issues we could look at. These were not. So the fact that it was she checked on the dog a couple of times, but as a result of her having not checked on the dog, but checked with the staff a couple of times, and then still there was no action taken. This is a responsibility case. Whose responsibility is this? This is really what we're talking about here. So the investigative committee found gross negligence, and probably based on the fact that this patient passed away, it was gross negligence. But gross negligence to me means actions that the respondent directly participated in, a misdiagnosis or a proper a drug or treatment or surgery. So I can't find gross negligence here. We do have the death of a patient without treatment, and we can't take that lightly. So therefore, is it failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures for not ensuring that the doctor's orders were followed? Sometimes you just got to step up and slam your foot down and say, this won't stand. This patient needs to be treated, and he needs to be treated right now. And you go to a supervisor and you say, I've got a patient here and he's not being treated. What do we do? Because it didn't appear that there were anything happened along those lines. And so what happened is the patient didn't have any treatment. And so I do feel like the respondent should be the one ensuring that the staff follows her orders. Not gross negligence, possibly professionally accepted procedures, or I went back and forth with a letter of concern of reminding the respondent that the staff actions are her responsibility. And to be honest, I'm right in between.
Well, I think part of it is because you said how busy the practice is can't factor in, but that's literally the definition of triage. Is, you know, what mm-hmm. is sicker goes first.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a few things, right? If you're really busy, defer the case, which isn't always popular, right? And we've seen complaints about that. And then also...
You need to another hospital.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or also, in what order the treatments happen. Right. Happens based on triage, which if this pet wasn't triaged in the condition that it obviously was in, then that would also determine when treatments happen. So, you know, the 2-hour delay, yes, the pet did pass away. However, part of it is how many other patients were triaged, you know, more critical that got care first. And if they wouldn't have gotten care, could have passed away, right. You know? So I think that does factor into it in this case significantly, in my opinion. And a doctor can make orders, but again, if the flow of the practice is that then these orders go to a team member, then, you know, there is some component of the protocol piece, right, that a veterinarian doesn't always get to be in charge of. And yes, you can stomp your feet and you know, do those types of things, but I'll tell you, that's not really isn't received very well, you know, if you're doing that too. So I just want it to sound realistic, right? Like in an ideal world, like in an ivory tower, yes, like you would just demand it and it would poof happen, right? 2 hours in an emergency practice is such a short period of time too. Like you have to understand, like you'll have an emergency veterinarian tell you, okay, yeah, it'll be like 30 minutes. And you're like, okay, but that was like an hour ago, you know? So it's just time can pass really fast. And so again, the fact that this veterinarian was checking in and checking up, and then there was an alternative plan, did show mindfulness and again, for like forward thought, right? Again, all the information wasn't received, and whose responsibility is that?
Right.
I don't know if you could ever say. And again, this patient did pass away. Honestly, the treatments that were ordered, I don't think we're gonna save this pet anyways. Given hindsight's 2020. So I don't know. I don't know that there is a good answer to this. I don't even have a I don't even have a motion.
I'm kind of leaning more towards professionally acceptable procedures, but I mean, yeah, things can get busy. That's not an excuse in emergency. That's just not an excuse flat out. I can't.
Again, it's triage. Though,
I understand, so. But I can't accept that as an excuse when a patient dies. And so, like I said, so I understand it can get busy, but yeah, it is up to the veterinarian to say this will get done now. This is under my license. I don't care what it is. Drop what you're doing. Get it done now. It doesn't take that long once you start doing it. It's, oh, we can push it off for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden it's in 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours. So, like I said, so yeah, it is up to the veterinarian to come in and say, I said get this done. Get this done now. Mm-hmm. And if you can't trust your staff to do that, then we've got a problem with employment at that point.
Right,
I mean, you're putting your license at risk because you have people you can't trust that you work with. If I say something needs to get done as a doctor, I am the one that says that gets done. That's final.
Right, but you can't get that thing done on four patients at the same time, right?
Yeah, you
can. I think that's where, you know, Ms. Frost is coming from, is like when you have that busy of a clinic and you have that level, and in the reading, it sounds like we lost a significant amount. And I'm not saying that, like,
that's still,
I think we're just
fault.
Trying to figure it out, right? And
yeah.
So, like, is it the doctor who is trying to see all these patients, or is this a clinic responsibility, making sure that you don't get down to only two technicians?
Right.
During a period of time, right? Or is that something that there should be some sort of protocol for the front desk? If we already know that we have X amount of patients, we need to start deferring patients, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really difficult as the doctor at that point. You're just literally handling whatever is coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't really get a say at the front desk stop. Like, it's just coming at you.
You should.
If you don't, then
we got problems with the actual facility.
But I'm just like, we know time and time again that happens on a regular basis, right? You're literally just there swatting at whatever comes at you. So if you only have two technicians and you have four critical patients, those other, like, you cannot treat all of your patients all at the same time.
No, but then it's up to the doctor to say, we're not accepting any more patients. It doesn't matter what policies are, I am not taking any more patients on because I cannot give them medical care.
But if they are out in the hospital,
if they're in the hospital, it's a whole different story. Once they're admitted, you take responsibility.
So if there's, again, but if you have four critical patients and half of your staff or more than half of your staff left and you're left with two technicians, how are you supposed to be managing all of this? So
I agree, but how did we get those extra patients in? We should have seen that there was a problem. We were falling behind on things, so we should have said that we didn't get those extra four patients. Or, again, this is a facilities issue, which is a management issue.
Yes.
But there's still a problem here, and we can't just say, well, it's busy, it is what it is. I that's not acceptable to me.
I think it's a protocol issue.
Yeah.
And
so
that there has to be a plan B. If you can't do anything, what's the other option? You can't just say there isn't any.
Yeah.
Well, especially in this case, you had a referring veterinarian, so you either have the option to say we can take your referral, or we can defer and take your referral at this time and you manage it until that time, or we can refer you to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, a case coming in with a veterinary triage referral, I think, would be kind of on a front burner to at least get some symptomatic IV fluids and monitoring.
Well, especially in an area where there's other emergency hospitals
other
around
options.
That can be referred to. This is not the only one
so,
in a 150
mile
radius.
Yeah,
but again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't find something, but I think what we're also have to take into consideration, yeah, there might be other veterinary clinics. I have run into multiple times where there's other emergency clinics and they're like, no, 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 no. So we're at a point in veterinary medicine where you can't just refer it down to the next clinic. So, like, these are
But if
are
you
all,
take on the responsibility, you take on the responsibility.
Right, but at the same time, they took on that responsibility, sure, should send it over. In the meantime, the C-section comes in, it's going to require all of your staff. Like, you don't have a crystal ball either,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's just, these are really difficult.
They are. But that's why emergency is difficult.
So do you have it?
What's it?
I mean, so basically it got referred and then nothing really happened to it
right.
beyond that.
Right.
So, I mean, the referral was...
Well, it was examined and a treatment plan drug.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I understand
good.
Things get busy,
good.
But it's like, is that acceptable?
What about the issue of was this patient stable or not? You guys haven't addressed that. We have a referring veterinarian all day with the dog, declining, concerned, you need to go. And now at the facility, we have Max is okay, he's stable.
Right, that to me, that is a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't deny that, but then it's also like perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
It to the veterinarian who's been watching this pet all day, and your other cases are, you know, allergies and whatever. This dog is like, oh my gosh, this is scary. We're going to refer it, but then when you get to the emergency hospital, you have things that are in much more critical state than what this patient is, right? So it has a lot to do with your perception.
Well, yeah, you're saying then she evaluated the dog's stability based on the patients around her. Is that what you're saying?
He's either
stable or he's not, is my point.
True, but like which one gets taken care of first, right?
And the assessment of being stable on a physical, right? A cursory physical exam mm-hmm. versus diagnostics is, completely night and day. Sure. And so if you don't have the records from the other veterinarian, then what else do you go off of than your cursory physical exam?
Right.
Like show, because again, was the pet on pain management? And so, you know, when you palpate the abdomen, you're not getting, you know, things that you normally would have, again, from the primary. So there's hindsight's 20/20 in this situation. I don't think anybody that was involved in this case, you know, would want to do it different, but that's not where we're at. So we just have to make a decision on.
So,
is there enough time to do stuff? And I mean, I think there was enough time to find time in there, to be honest. I mean, we have the triage done at 5:43, so I mean, that was 4.5 hours before the patient passed away. I mean, there's time in there for that to occur. Mm-hmm.
There's wait times at the ER, 9 hours.
We're calling it an emergency, but just because it's emergency doesn't mean, crap happens, there's nothing that can be
done. Just because it's emergency doesn't mean it's fast either.
I don't expect it to be fast, but I expect it to be appropriate. And when a patient dies,
I'm going to make a motion and then we'll see what happens.
So is this case 24-121?
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Yamada.
Okay.
I would definitely not gross negligence, but 32-22-32-12 as relates to R311-501-1, failure to follow professionally acceptable procedures for not ensuring that the doctor's orders were followed.
Second.
Is it that they weren't followed or that they weren't completed? Because
they weren't done.
I don't know that anything was done except it was put in a kennel.
Yeah.
Okay. So a motion. Second. Okay. Roll call.
Dr. Byrne, aye. Ms. Frost?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Okay, now in the case, Dr. Potaski, the responsible veterinarian, there's certainly no violation. Counsel is definitely correct there, a violation of failure to follow any acceptable medical procedures or gross negligence or anything like that. So is it a letter of concern case or not? And so we get to responsibility. And since there is, I believe, no violation of any statutes, I'm willing to look at the things that have been done in this case, and I think they were done very well and in a timely manner. So I don't see any reason for a letter of concern for Dr. Potaski. So I'm just going to make a motion that we dismiss with no violation.
Second.
The motion is second. Roll call.
Dr. Burns, aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Nay.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Concludes the motions for both cases. The board will do it on case by case in the closing piece here.
Well,
since they're both different.
One case is resolved. The other one will come back next week for you to review the findings of facts and conclusions.
So for case 24-121, the board has found a violation. And it'll be heard back next month. Is that correct? Okay. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, We'll then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If there's any questions, please call the Board's Executive Director, Victoria Whitmore. And then for case 2539, this concludes the matter. You will receive written confirmation of the Board's action shortly. Thank you. Okay.
Can I revise back to just make sure you started the audio first?